time this weekend. I hope that you all have been able to at least see it on the live page or the YouTube. There's a YouTube page that you're welcome to UWC Lex. You can find us there. When they record, you can get the services. Today, I want to talk to you about something that God gave me, and it's been on my heart all week long. And it's called surrender. Surrender. Surrender equals power. And in the natural world, surrender is the opposite of power in the natural world. When an army surrenders, they are surrendering to an enemy who does not have the best intentions for them. But in God's economy, in our biblical spiritual world, when we surrender to Christ, we are free. And we have power through Him. Surrender comes in many forms. It comes with surrendering your emotions, surrendering your will, surrendering your thoughts and your mind, surrendering your time, surrendering your money, surrendering everything that you are to God who loved you and has only the best for you. And as I've said before, I can look through my life, and I'm sure you can look at yours, and you can see where God was constantly pursuing you. Have you ever been pursued by someone? I have. It's pretty flattering, isn't it? It's pretty great. But sometimes when it comes to God, we don't look at it that way. We're not, you know, we don't look at it as a flattering thing, because sometimes the things that we have to go through are painful. But that's okay. There's always something greater on the other side of that. So I want to tell you what surrender means. Surrender means to completely give up your will and be subject and subject your thoughts, your ideas, your deeds to the will and teachings of God through Jesus Christ. That's what He came for, right? And I want to look to, you choose to give up the fight between your selfish, sinful mankind nature, to God. Did you ever think of yourself as selfish? I can look back at my life and see very selfish moments. Here I am, grown according to the physical nature, married, raising children, and living a selfish life. I can look back and see that, and boy, that really hurts. But I'm no different than anybody else. God gave me a good man who was not selfish, who helped me grow and mature and become the woman I am today. And this is why, you know, grandchildren are so great, right? It's because, you know, you grew up with your kids, most of us. And grandbabies, you can love them, you can spoil them, you can give words of wisdom too. Don't you just love your grandparents? I did. They've been there, done that, seen how bad it could be, seen how great it could be. And they're always trying to impart some of that wisdom to you. Well, that's what God is always doing for us. But most of us won't surrender so that we can operate in the power that He has given us. I will give you some examples. Matthew 4, 17 through 19. I'm not going to read all of these because we don't have the time. But He's calling Andrew and Peter. And they totally left everything and went with Him. They were fishermen. Of course, most of them were. Read the story. Left everything and went with Him. Wow. Left everything and went with Him. Could we do that? You know, He asks us to do that to a certain extent each day, right? Leave yourself. Come with me. There was one in the Bible that the young ruler, remember him in Luke 18? He said, "You've done all this. I've kept all the law." He says, "I've done this from birth," hoping he'd get some props. Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Get rid of everything and come follow me. Abandon it all. Give it away. You don't need it." What did he do? He dropped his head and he walked away, because that was the one thing he couldn't do. Surrender it all. Imagine what he lost out on. Imagine what we lose out on when we refuse to surrender in areas in our lives to God, to the will of the Father, to the power to be an overcomer that Jesus died to give us, to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. How many times, Sonia, are you going to have to go back around that mountain because you didn't surrender? And because you didn't do this, I can't give you freedom and power to proceed. Last week I talked about living on the edge. And a lot of us live in that. We live between the measure of press and the good news. And a lot of times we wander between the two, never daring to take the step over the brook of good news into that one last battle that's going to bring us everything, all the promises, restore everything that we have lost, and step into the next purpose in our life. Surrender is so important in a Christian's life. So let's look at the perfect example of surrender. And who is always that? Jesus. You can look at me if you want. I'm flawed. I have scars. I have mindsets that we're still working on. Things that you can't see. You may from the outside look real good. But God knows you better than most of you. Even your spouses. Even your mama and your daddies. He knows what goes on here and in here. So never look at, you can look at a human and say, oh yeah, that's a great example. But I guarantee you there's a flaw. Because I'll be the first one to admit it. I got a flaw. But I'm going to take you to the Word. This is the truth. This is the way, the life. This is how you're going to get it done. It has the power in it. It is your sword. It's your weapon. So Jesus was the perfect example. John 6 and 38, I think it is. Let me see what he said about himself. Now this is, he took on the form of man. That was his first big step. He left and took on our form. As glorious as it was, as home was, as everything was, he chose to come and be like us. It says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Wow. Jesus, resurrector, healer, savior, Lord, chose to do the will of the Father. Then why can't you and I make that simple choice? He submitted to him. Another example is John 8 and 28. And these are Jesus' own words. I want you to hear what he's saying about himself. And this is a... He says, then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Nothing of myself. You know, I'm a type of person, I don't like surrender. I even had my father change the marriage vows when he married my husband and I, almost 36 years ago. I said, you can take obey out, because I ain't going to agree to that. My daddy knew that was the only way he was going to get me married, so he took him out. I got the video to prove it. My husband, God, he loves me so much. He didn't care. Not a word. I don't even know if he knew about it until the day it come up. He got so lost in the ceremony, he probably didn't even hear it. He was actually reading my father's book, trying to keep his place, and then he lost his place. And when it come time for him to say something, he looked at my dad and said, can you read that again? I thought my dad was going to die. But anyways, that's how bad I was. There is no obeying our measure vows. I had it taken out. I obeyed no man. Tells you a little something about my upbringing, doesn't it? I obeyed no man. I was leaving home. It was never going to be that way. So surrender for me was a very big thing. Surrender. I still work on it today. I'm learning. I'm getting better at it. But I've learned something in our marriage. If you have a man who loves you and wants the best for you, it's easy to surrender someone like that. But we don't look at God that way, do we? We don't. We only see what we're missing. We don't see that he's got something so much better in store for us. So we don't surrender. And we hold ourselves back. We put him in a box and say, maybe later. Maybe later. I don't want to go through that right now. I just can't give that up right now. And the whole time, we're just standing in a place and he's waiting. And you're stuck between being pressed and the good news. And he's waiting for you to come to the other side of the brook of good news. Come on. I know it looks scary. I know it's another battle. I know you're tired. I know the enemy has been at you. You've been rejected. You've not been loved. But I have something for you so much greater. If you just let me, let's just walk this together. Let's do this now. It's time. I've learned God's timing is everything. And I've learned when I miss it, I miss it. I can go back and correct it, but somehow I feel that I've just missed a little something I shouldn't have missed. But Jesus said, even I do nothing of my own. Philippians 2 and 8, very well-known verse, says he came in the form of man. He humbled himself. And he was obedient even to the death of the cross. That wasn't his will, right? I only do what the Father wants me to do. And I only say and go and do what the Father tells me to do. Oh my gosh. How can surrender be such a good thing when you know you're going to die? He loved us. He went through it. Garden of Gethsemane is a great example of a surrender. Yeah. Even him said, that's right, Father, if you can take it a will, but not my will, thine be done. Perfect example. How many times, though, in our stress do we cry that out? Oh, God, I'm going to say I could probably count on one finger. Maybe not even that, maybe half. I am human as human comes, and it's hard. Yeah. He was completely man and all God. Yeah. Where we're bleeding out. That's right. I have felt the presser. I've never bled sweat, but that's how stress affects your body. It does. It affects your body so much, and there's so much. But let me try not to get sidetracked. Surrender only comes with humbling and obedience. It's actually an action, isn't it? Humbling and obedience. Humble means to realize the importance of God's will. Yes, Lord, my idea got me nowhere. I'm humbling myself to your will. And obedience is complying to God's will. Action. It's not just saying, well, I surrender all. Did you know that song? Woo, how many times have we sung that and not, and it was only lip service. It wasn't heart service. Be careful what you say. He'll take you up on it. We are called to this life. As a Christian, did you realize that? Ooh. We want to be filled with God, but there's times when you're like, no, 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 stop, 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 stop. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. A lot of times we look because it's painful and we feel that we don't have the ability to do it. There are a few other reasons. We won't go down that one. But we are called to a life as sons and daughters. to walk in the authority and the power that Christ gave us. He was hanging on the cross, dying, but we were on his mind. It was what he knew was best for us. How many times have you done that for your own children? As a mother, as a father? How many times have you done that as a husband and as a wife? I can think of many times my husband endured my immaturity because he loved me. And he just wanted to protect me, but he was giving me the room to grow and become something better that he saw in me that I didn't see at all. God's constantly doing that with us. He's working it out like the potter in Jeremiah 18. It's taking the clay and he's spinning it and spinning it. Boy, I feel like I spin a lot all day long some days. I am being spun and spun and spun, and the imperfections are showing up and they're showing up. But God is trying to remove those to create and mold you into something so great, so useful for the kingdom. We all have purpose. We all have purpose. Don't think for one minute what you've done has disqualified you. Heck no, it probably qualified you in God's kingdom. Surrender. This is why so many Christians walk in defeat and not power. It's because we refuse to surrender and allow God to do. Allow us to be. Allow us to overcome and operate in the power that we are called to be in. So I want to talk a little bit about that, about learning to surrender. Luke 9:23, Christ said it himself, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I love that Luke put that in there, daily. It's not a one and done deal, baby. You're going to walk this out minute by minute, and in my case, some days, seconds by seconds. Daily. Daily, I'm learning to deny myself. Daily, I'm learning to pick up that cross daily and follow him. That means, you know what? That takes the pressure off. I'm not going to be perfection when I gave my heart to Christ. He made me whole. He gave me his righteousness. But it is a journey that I am walking out daily. Making the right choices, doing the right things, saying the right things, spending time with the right connections. And getting rid of the ones that don't. For whosoever will save his life, this is the second verse, 24, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And we always look at that and think that that's just talking about giving your life physically for Christ, like death. But it's every day. Save in this capacity is to recover or restore or get well. It is to make well, to bring safely, to cure, to ensure salvation or preserve. Save. I heard this story, and I don't know that it's true. It's somebody back in Greek times or a long time ago, and he said when he died, he had three requests. He says, when I die, I want six physicians to carry my casket. Because I want everyone to know they couldn't save me. He says, and as you're buried, taking me out to the graveyard, I want you to throw the gold down that I have on the street. Because I want everyone to know you can't take it with you. And as they're putting me down, I want my hand to be outside of the coffin, open. Because I want you to see, you take nothing with you. Save. Salvation, what you've done for the kingdom. Are you saved? What work have you done for the kingdom? That's the only thing. Salvation is the only thing that's going to go with you or not. Did you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And we like that part of Savior. We don't want him to be Lord over our lives, though. We want to be Lord over our own lives. So let's You know, Romans 12 and 1, it's, you know, we talk about the renewing of the mind. Submit your bodies to Christ. And that includes your mind as well, not just your physical arms and legs. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If you were given all that, then why don't we operate in it? The very first thing is power. That's dunamis. That is miraculous power. That's what I want to see in my life. Let's look at what happens. Go to Acts 1. And this is what God wanted me to talk about, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all receive God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, when we accept Him as Christ. But few of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that you can't get to heaven without it, but I'm saying your life on earth will be so much better if you surrender and submit and obey the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism when you give your will away. So if you go to the first chapter of Acts, and let me get to the verse I want. Verses 6 through 5. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Here's the instructions. I think it's 5 and 6. He tells them in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. It's a promise which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's leaving. He's giving them instructions. They're still relevant today. Let's go on down. Let's read the rest of them. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Notice kingdom is not capitalized. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Again, the Father has the power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Power. Are you lacking power in your life? Is it because you've refused to submit? I suspect it is. Acts 1 and 12, it says they returned to Jerusalem, which was the Sabbath day journey, about 3/4 of a mile. And I thought that was so interesting. It says 2,000 cubicles but in the Bible. But that represents the Sabbath journey is just the high. You're just allowed to travel that far on the Sabbath because it was considered holy. And they think that it represented the distance between the Ark of the Covenant and the Israelites when they traveled with the Ark. 2,000 cubits. But I want you to notice what they were doing in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That's not something you should teach. It's the Spirit gives the utterance. And then Paul goes out, and if you read down into the rest of the scriptures, Paul preaches the first good news to people that were around, and 3,000 were added that day. Now that is power. Power. His shadow would even heal people. Now that is power of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to read into, let's learn what we've learned about submission and apply it to this wonderful account in our heritage. Notice they obeyed his command. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait for the promise, the power that has been promised you, the Holy Spirit. They were there. They were all like-minded in one accord. Unity. This is why a company you keep is such a plan of the enemy to pick away at you. They prayed, and at supplication, they humbled themselves. They were obedient, and then they received the Holy Spirit when he came, but they just didn't receive it. They gave it back out. Peter started preaching and teaching. The apostles started going out and giving the good news. It's just not for you to get here and go out into this world and be a different person. No, 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 no. Holy Spirit is for you to share with others, to witness to them. I love, you know, Revelations 12 and 11. It's one of my favorite verses. And they overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto the death. We don't like that dying part, do we? Oh, I can testify and I can give you everything else, but you know, submission is a whole different issue. Dying to self is a whole different issue. But I submit to you, without submission, there is no power. That's why many of us walk as broken, defeated Christians. You lack submission to the Holy Spirit, to his leading and his guiding. And you know, it's great. I go to the store and I buy something to drink, and I want them to fill that cup all the way up. I want everything that I can get out of it. But when it comes to God, just a little. Just give me a little. I'm not going to pay for 3/4 of a cup. Do you think Christ feels the same way? He paid a great price for us. And we're going, wait a minute. I'm not ready to do that yet. I can't submit in that area. That hurts too much. And he says, what about the garden? What about the cross? What about the beating? What about the plucking of the beard and being spat upon and lied about? What about all that? Don't you think you're worthy enough that I would take you through even death, hell, and the grave and make you victorious, that I can't get you past this? I can. I've been there. I overcame the world. So don't worry about it. He says, don't worry about it. They hated you. They hated me first. I tell you all these things so that you know I overcame the world, and so can you. Submission equals power. If you are lacking power in any part of your Christian walk, I suspect if you examined yourself, you would find an area that you have not submitted in. It does make a difference. I pray that you examine yourself today. Look where the lack of connection and power is. And I can guarantee you it's an area that you and God need to have a one-on-one about. And he's probably talked to you before. But he's waiting for you to say, okay, I'm ready to walk in that power. I'm ready to walk in that freedom. I'm ready to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit. More of you. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this word today. We thank you that you are forever showing us the enemy, even at times when it's just us, just our flesh, just our nature, maybe just the past that has damaged us in our thinking. We thank you, Lord, that even the hard things you're willing to take and give us something even more glorious, freedom and power and love. Because love conquers all, doesn't it? We pray, Father, that you would help each and every one that's under the voice of my voice at this time, and show us the areas that we need your power in, your lack, where we're lacking, Father, and that you can be assistance to us, that you can give us the strength and the power to overcome so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ died for us to have. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.